I want to say this morning how exciting it is for me to be here, to gather together with you brethren. It's unbelievable for me. Coming from Perth in Western Australia, where we have one congregation in the entire country, and 25 members, to gather together to worship with all you is thrilling beyond words. There's more people in this front row than there are faithful Christians in Australia. And you people want to really appreciate this. It is a true blessing to be able to gather together and hear wonderful teaching, to sing together praises to God, and to pray to our God. It's thrilling for me. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here and to speak this morning. Brother Brett Hickey last night talked about opportunity and what we do with that opportunity. And I'd like to continue on with those thoughts and take my thoughts from the book of Acts in chapter 8. We know how the chapter starts there. It talks about the persecution of the church. And reading there, starting in verse 1, we read, "And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison." The situation for the new church seemed hopeless. Here the church has just got a beginning, and all of a sudden Saul comes out, and he was a man full of zeal, we know that, and starts destroying the church, or so it seems. But you see, the plans of men are not the plans of God. And we read the next verse there. "Therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word." Now you know, God gives us opportunities, but we don't always recognize what those opportunities are. Can you imagine being in the situation that these brethren were in Jerusalem? You're in fear of being arrested, put in prison, put to death, and you have to flee from your home, leaving everything behind. What are you going to do? What would you do? We say we're New Testament Christians. In the first century, those Christians went about preaching the Word of God. Now, we don't have time to go in and look at what Philip did there in Samaria, but I encourage you to do so, because there is an example for us, an example of a man in what seemed a hopeless situation that found opportunities. I'd like to go on to the time when the Lord called him to go to that man from Ethiopia. And reading from verse 26, the same chapter. "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is the desert road. "And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he came, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, Do you understand what you're reading?" Here the Lord has given him an opportunity. And what an opportunity that was. Here was a man studying his Bible. And he didn't understand all that was there. And the preacher goes up to him and says, Do you understand what you're reading? But I want to notice how he went up to this Ethiopian man. Did he just kind of hesitantly wander up there? Did he saunter up there? No. God gave him an opportunity and he ran up to that chariot. That's how we need to look at the opportunities that God gives us. I know that you pray for opportunities to speak to people about the Word of God, to expand the boundaries of His kingdom. Well, you need to be like Stephen, And you need to run towards those opportunities. Now, Brother Mike told you a little bit the fact that I'm involved in a new work in Tanzania. Now, he wasn't quite right, and I'll straighten him out in that later. But the work there wasn't really a flow over from the work in Malawi. This is a work that is started by itself, by a brother by the name of Alan Makita. And he was a brother with the brethren who worshipped with a broken loaf and multiple cups. And one day he was reading his Bible, as he does constantly. And he came along a passage which it appeared that he hadn't read before. Of course he had, but he hadn't read it clearly. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, he read there. And the Lord took a cup and blessed it and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And his eyes were opened. He said, we don't do that. And we need to do that. He studied with his wife, and they decided they could no longer worship with a broken loaf and multiple cups. And he studied with some of the brethren, and they formed a very small congregation worshipping scripturally. And you know what? There in that little town in Arusha, Tanzania, these Christians gathered, and they believed they were the only faithful Christians that were worshipping scripturally on the face of the earth. But they were faithful. Well, it came about that Alan, looking on the internet, found that, well, there are many people who believe just like he did. And word got to Jerry Cutter, who was in Malawi, and on a visit where my wife Anne and I were in Malawi last year, in March, Jerry and I took a visit to Tanzania, and we found this faithful preacher and this small faithful congregation. And I've been blessed that I've been able to go two more times to help with that work there. Really, that's why my wife and I are here in the U.S. for this visit, to let people know about this great work and try to encourage you to be involved in that. Well, anyway, in Alan Makita, we have a Stephen. We study a lot when we're there, studying with many people. We were driving down the road in the car, and on this day, we were driving down, and Alan shouts out, "Stop the car!" Now, there's little children and goats and chicken going everywhere. I think I'm going to hit someone. So I slam on the brakes, and before the car is pulled to a stop, the door is flung open, and Alan runs out. I don't know what's going on. But after a little while, Alan comes back and said, "Well, what was that?" He said, "There's a man there, and he was reading his Bible. I had to talk to him. And by the way, we've got to study tomorrow." And that's how the work is there. The man is a man by the name of Eugene. He was a young man who, 22 years old, he's starting his own business selling vegetables. And he's building up that business. And you know what he does in the downtime? He sits down and reads his Bible. The last Sunday, about a month ago now, we gathered together for worship, and Eugene came along, and he knew what the Bible taught. We've studied with him a lot, but he hadn't obeyed the gospel. He said, "Why aren't you obeying the gospel?" We didn't know the answer until this Sunday. He came early, and he asked Alan to come and see him. Now, Alan called me, and this man Eugene said, "Yesterday I was studying the Bible," and we pictured the scene. "I was reading my Bible, and it touched my heart." And I'm happy to say that that Lord's Day, Eugene was baptized. And I know that he'll continue to be a great worker for the Lord because of the influence he has. You see, we have opportunities, and we need to make the most of those opportunities. If we go on in that passage, we read about how this Ethiopian man was baptized. And we read in verse 38, "And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went away rejoicing." When we're over in Tanzania, almost without exception, the question is brought up to us. Tell us about baptism. Is it with much water or little water. You see, the Lutheran church is very big there, and of course they use sprinkling. But these people, they've heard about baptism's immersion, so they ask about baptism. Is it with much water or little water? Well, now that's an opportunity that any preacher wants in his study. Yeah, I'll talk to you about baptism. And we study with them. One of the passages that I like to go to, and this last visit I made a habit of not explaining it to them. We turn to Mark 16 and verse 16, and I said, I'm not going to explain that to you. I want you to read it, and I want you to explain it to me. And of course they read, when the Lord said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, he who disbelieves will be condemned. And they would say, well, it's really quite simple. You need to believe and be baptized to be saved. You know, that's exciting to hear people say that. We know it's simple. But in Australia, and I guess here, we get so many people saying, no, that's not what it says. That's not what it means. We know it's what it means. There's people in Tanzania who know what it means. The work there is growing. It's so exciting to be a part of it. I'm here to tell you about it. That's why we travelled from Australia, to tell people about this opportunity. The Apostle Paul talks about a door of effective service being open to him. He wrote that in several occasions. And you know, there's a door of opportunity in Tanzania right now. And the way I see it is very simple. When there's an open door, there's two things you can do about it. You can walk past that door, or you can walk through it. When the Lord gives us opportunities, when we pray for opportunities, let's make sure we take those opportunities and do all we can in our service to the Lord.